deference to the resources. But we are going to hear today from Department of Commerce and Revenue regarding the net returns of revenues. Senator Seekins has joined us. To the general fund. If you can see okay there, or did you want to move across? We have a PowerPoint presentation first, and then we'll open to questions and discussion. With us to help us in our quest are Commissioner Knoll and Deputy Commissioner Al Clow, Glenn Height from Fisheries, Carol McCullough from Tourism, and from Department of Revenue, we have their economist, Nels Tomlinson. So with that opening, if I could turn it over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Senator.
Help educate us.
Thank you very much. We'll do our best on that part. Very, very interesting question, and an important one, obviously.
I'm sorry, just for the record.
I'm sorry, I'm Bill Knoll, and I am Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community and Development. Good afternoon, thank you. Very important question. How do we do when we talk about selling the resources of the state of Alaska? We invest general funds, we invest federal funds for that matter. Do we make any money back? And we appreciate the question, we thank you for it. Our staff has worked in this very interesting area along with the Department of Revenue and the Department of Fish and Game, and to lead us through the results and through the PowerPoint, I'd like to introduce Deputy Commissioner Al Clow.
Thank you, Commissioner Knoll. Just for the record, Al Clow, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development.
Yeah, and I would ask, move the mic a little closer, it's easier on our...
See, is that a little bit better?
There you go.
And if it's okay by you, I'll just sit here and run through the PowerPoint. What we'd like to do is run through on a fairly expedited basis, speaking to the question of net return to the state of Alaska, investment in timber, tourism, minerals, and commercial fisheries. Essentially, it's money into the state of Alaska's coffers versus money out of the state of Alaska's coffers. Just to run you through it real briefly before we get into the slides, we've aggregated the data, then we provide detail of the various funding sources for both money in and money out, also some dialogue on these various accounts, and wrap up the presentation with some discussion on other significant revenue streams that are out there, predominantly going to local government, and a bit of a crystal ball look from our specialist backed up with other folks in predominantly in DNR and Fish and Game on what they see the near-term outlook for these various industries. So with that preface, the bottom line here, as you can see on the left-hand column, is total gross revenues to the state of Alaska. To the right of that is operating expenditures, and then the far right column nets things out. As you can see, when you look at timber, minerals, fisheries, and tourism, total funds gross revenues is $156 million, operating $110 for a net to the state of $44 million. Timber industry, a modest return back to the state, minerals a little over 12 million, fisheries 11, 20 out of tourism, and that kind of adds it up. And we'll run through these by industry sector. The majority of the timber revenues are from corporate income tax and timber sale receipts on state lands, and a modest amount of national forest receipts that go to the department. And as you can see, the Department of Commerce, that is, has a small effort in promoting the forest products industry that's GF supported. Natural Resources, of course, has a division of forestry, and those are the total figures, 2.2 in, 1.6 million out. And a little bit of backup here on, again, the corporate income tax and timber sales and national forest receipts being sources of revenue, and the predominant state expenditure being Department of Commerce and Department of Natural Resources. And this obviously does not include what DNR spends on fire suppression.
Just a moment. Representative Guttenberg has joined us. Well, thank you.
Moving on into tourism, total revenues being the portions of the vehicle rental tax, corporate income tax, fish and game hunting licenses, and a modest amount of federal funds totaling slightly shy of, or excuse me, also Marine Highway System, and totaling about $50 million. Expenditures being tourism marketing, the contract with Alaska Travel Industry Association, some modest funds going to revenue, and then DOT through Marine Highways just about zeros out, net to the state of about $20 million. To look at the detail, and we had some discussion with within our own internal folks.
Excuse me, would you like us to interrupt for questions?
It's whatever suits you.
Could we go back one slide?
Yep.
And you mentioned a portion of the vehicle rental tax.
Correct, and I've got the detail on that in the...
Okay, thank you. We'll go right ahead then.
The next one. In the case of the rental tax, through some work that we had done in an Alaska Visitor Statistic Program several years ago, our contract researchers felt that attributing 85% of the rental vehicle tax to visitors to the state was the number that they were recommending. So we got the data from revenue and then just backed in, kept that at 85% for what we attributed to visitors to the state, the others being, I would presume, residents that rent a car or a bus on occasion. Corporate income tax for visitor businesses, the fish and game, hunting and fishing licenses, we attributed the $17.7 million to non-residents or visit. We know it's non-resident fees. We attributed that all to visitors. It's arguable that there's probably some people in there that have moved to Alaska that do not qualify for a in-state hunting and fishing license. How you back that out in the time that we had to work on this, we just didn't have a way to do that. And the Marine Highway System does, of course, categorize their passengers and both vehicle and foot passengers. So we're pretty happy with that number, that those are indeed non-residents, predominantly summer travelers. The expenditures, Fish and Game gave us their data on what they charge to administer this. Our tourism program got some numbers from revenue, and then again, the Marine Highway System just about nets out. The minerals industry, fairly straightforward, corporate income tax, mining license tax, and production royalties being the largest amounts, with several other smaller funds and a small amount, of about $500,000 and change in federal funds for $13 million. The Department of Commerce has a minerals development program. Revenue, of course, collects the various fees, so they have a charge to it. And Department of Natural Resources has a division of mining, land, and water, and also a fairly hefty regulatory program. And again, that's where those added up, about $13 million in and $1.8 million expended by the state. Many of the regulatory programs in both DNR and DEC are fee-based, so those do not reflect into here, or they essentially net out at a zero. It's a pay-to-play system. And again, just some detail on that, on mining license tax, corporate income tax, and what revenue charges. Commercial fisheries is the most lengthy one here, because there's such a breadth of various programs, both bringing revenue in and also supporting one of our larger businesses. And I'm not going to go through all of these. Everybody has the handouts. But as you can see, revenue brings in about $51 million. And let me just go down through these various licensing fees and administering various programs for another $23 million, and then significant federal funds. And I should point out, I think I didn't mention this early on, our base year for this debt is state fiscal year 2005. And there we go, for total revenues in commercial fisheries of about $90 million. And let me just back up. So on the right column, expenditures, everything from Commerce's programs, our loan programs and investments, our support efforts, ASME, DC, of course, a host of seafood programs, fish and game and labor also in there with significant efforts, and expenditures of $79 million versus revenues of $90 million.
And if I could interrupt, when I saw your preliminary figures, that was a minus 11. Was that, there an error in arithmetic?
No, if that is correct. And if I could indulge the committee, I'd like Glenn Haidt, our fisheries specialist, to speak with that, because we had quite a bit of discussion with Fish and Game before we changed these data. So if Glenn could join us.
Yeah, thank you, Senator. For the record, my name is Glenn Haidt, and I'm the Fisheries Development Specialist with the Department. There's about $20 million that's put to shared fisheries business tax to communities, and that was in the preliminary report that you saw. It was pointed out to us that that is not really an expense to manage the seafood industry or to regulate it in any way. And so that was taken out, and it's reflected in the later part of the report.
Okay. The $20 million that's shared with community, I don't think I understand that. Could you?
Sure. There's the fisheries resource. I'll go back here if I may. The fisheries business tax at $28 million and the fisheries resource landing tax at $9 million, mm-hmm. 9.9 or 10. Half of that is appropriated by the legislature to communities throughout Alaska through the shared business tax program. And that's where that figure was pulled out of.
So it goes from the GF to communities, and then by extension, you're saying that isn't a commercial fisheries expense.
Yeah, that's correct, Senator.
But the communities use it for what?
The communities would use it for, I suspect, whatever expenses that they have and they budget into. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a form of revenue sharing now. Why are we sending that money to the communities?
It's a statutory shared program.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's not money that ends up in the general fund.
But the budgeting is not something that I would be able to speak to, but it is money that comes to the state, and it's appropriated by the legislature to the communities, I believe, each year.
Yeah. Okay.
Raw fish tax, yes.
Senator, Representative Wilson.
That's part of the raw fish tax, and that is collected.
Okay. Sorry. Use the mic, would you please?
Okay. It's collected, and then they collect enough so that part of it goes back to the community where it was landed.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Bundy, I believe the problem was, or the discrepancy was, in our earlier version of this presentation the draft that we discussed with you several weeks ago, those dollars were shown on the expense column, and that skewed the data quite a bit. And when Fish and Game took a close look at it, they said, wait a minute, you've charged this off as expense, and actually these dollars are being collected in trust and then given to the communities as the raw fish tax.
Okay, thank
you. So that's why the data changed in this presentation. And again, as we have with the other sectors, we've tried to provide some descriptor on the various funds, both revenues and expenses, just to give a little better understanding of the dollar flow on both sides. And from the state standpoint, most Fish and Game certainly has a large part in this, as does the Department of Commerce. and labor as well. So again, to sum up the base question of revenues to the state of Alaska versus expenses by the state of Alaska, timber industry showing a modest return to this, very modest return to the state, minerals about 12 million, 11 million in fisheries, 20 million in visitor industry for a total of 44. And again, this was the base year, state fiscal year, OT 5. Our staff and at the management level, we also felt it was important to look at some of the other major revenue streams and that come out of these industry sectors that are moving through the economy. Mining, of course, pays property tax in the organized borough. There's also a payment in lieu of taxes at the Red Dog Mine, severance tax in several places, and of course, if the municipality has sales tax. This is not an exhaustive study. These are the ones that are readily available. The Greens Creek Mine here in Juneau, about $700,000 in property tax and sales tax. The Fort Knox property at Fairbanks, about $3.5 million, and then the Red Dog Pilt payment to the Northwest Arctic Borough of 5.8, and this again was in fiscal year OT 5. The visitor industry pays significant bed taxes statewide, and as you can see, that curve's changed a little bit, gone up quite a bit in 05 for about 20 million. The Comfish, significant, considerable dollars going to the local economy in raw fish tax and various, in the course of CDQ program for Western Alaska being a very large contributor for about not total of not quite 90 million. And again, summing this up, this is what's predominantly going to local governments, both in the organized and the unorganized borough. And these fees are a considerable sum of $189 million for fiscal year OT 5, and the CDQ program probably being the largest single contributor. And to kind of sum up with where things are at in sort of what our specialists are seeing in their crystal ball of where things are headed in the next couple of years. The visitor industry, of course, has been growing substantially in recent years, predominantly led by cruise and how cruise ratchets statewide. Cruise is starting to flatten out, but still a significant amount of jobs, 26,000 jobs in OT 2. Close to 1 million visitors moving through the state. And looking at things, where things are heading, the curves are flattening out, but still several percent annualized growth foreseen in the foreseeable future. And of course, as I'm sure everybody's well aware, there's an awful lot of effort going trying to expand outside of the cruise corridor and get those dollars working elsewhere in the state economy. Comfish values have been increasing with improved prices in recent years. Certainly not what the fishing industry was a number of years ago, but an awful lot better than it was in the recent past. Employment stabilizing and our markets expanding, especially into Asia for a whole host of reasons. And I mean, I think our seafood industry is has been quite successful in recent times and turned a heck of a hard corner, and we're certainly pleased with where we're headed. The minerals industry gets a little problematic because of the uncertainty on some of the big projects on when these may or may not take place. Needless to say, in recent years, it wasn't that many years ago, the gross value of the industry was $1 billion, and now it's approaching $2 billion gross value, over 3,000 direct jobs, and depending on timing for potential projects such as Pebble or Donlin Creek out in Western Alaska, that could be pushing 6,000 jobs in another 6 years, and those are direct, not indirect jobs, with the gross value of the industry well in excess of several billions of dollars annually. It's a little difficult with these projects that are just starting into permitting to say when they will come on board. The other thing in minerals, of course, the Pogo mine just poured its first gold this winter. Its real returns to the state treasury will lag a couple of years as it's just started into production. So they'll see in fiscal year 8 or 9, the state will start to see significant revenue coming from that. And of course, the local community there in Delta and Fairbanks are already seeing quite an expenditure. And yeah, I believe that's, unless I missed a page, that sums it up. Not to slight our friends in Forest Products, but we're not rash enough to put a crystal ball out in Forest Products industry right now, other than to say we can, there's a lot of effort going in trying to keep the markets that we have, and hope we can see some modest increases. So I believe we did give a handout to everyone, and either myself, the commissioner, or the staff are here to try to deal with any specific questions, and we can certainly back through some of the details.
Well, this has been very helpful. I want to thank Commissioner and folks in revenue who I'm sure went to some considerable effort to answer that question, and one that I've had for some time now, just what does these various expenditures return to the state, and you've given us a more positive picture than I had anticipated, so I'm pleased to see that. Of course, will add to our municipal revenue sharing discussions that they already get $189 million out of return off the money that we're investing for them, so that might make the discussion interesting. Questions for the commissioner or Mr. Palau? Senator Seekins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a couple of questions. Just I noticed under tourism, you've got all non-resident hunting, fishing licenses, trapping licenses included in that number. Does that also include any federal matching funds?
So, Carol McConkie, our tourism specialist, is saying she does not believe it does.
Okay. And
Carol, come on up, please. And just for the record, identify yourself.
Carol McConkie, development specialist. We didn't get to that level of detail in terms of the matching federal funds for the Department of Fish and Game.
Okay. And then as I got into commercial fisheries, I know there's a lot of federal funds that come into commercial fisheries, cod fisheries. Is there any threat that in the short term that any of those federal funds will not be available?
Go to Senator Stevens briefing cocktail party tonight. Well, we could ask him directly, of course, but
yeah. I'm just curious if there's any known threat out there at this point in time.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator, I don't know that I can answer.
And again, for the record.
Oh, Glenn Haight, the development specialist. I don't know if I can answer your question exactly. Looking through a lot of the federal sources, they seemed like some of them might be fairly standard or some food safety funds that come through. Fish and Game has a number of different federal sources that they're pulling from to what they're used for and how they're obtained. I couldn't tell you. They may likely be appropriations. So not a good answer for you, but
well, I'm just wondering.
To look into further.
The reason I asked that, Mr. Chairman, was because, you know, it's hard sometimes when you're trying to look at sustainability, whether or not there was, you know, and some of these funds are individually appropriated on an annual basis, and I was just curious if there was any indication that that would collapse anywhere in the future. But I just thank you.
Yep. Through the chair, Senator
Commissioner,
one of the areas we're very concerned on is the marketing of our commercial fisheries. We're very keenly aware of how well we've done over the past 3 years. We've gone just through the roof in terms of exports, and part of that is due to the heavy marketing effort. So I met with one of the members of the board of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Board here locally. The executive director is Bill Hines. I met with one of the board members, who told me that they have about $2 million left in the bank, another $7 million en route for this, from this particular Congress. Will give us about $9 million for this upcoming year, which gives us great comfort. That's from that point of view. This is non-regulatory, as Glenn referred right. to, the ADF&G kind of activities. Ours are more commercial and oriented toward making some money.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And trying to track some of the flexibility or mobility of funds in these areas, I would guess commercial fishing historically has gone up and down with the various cycles. Timber probably doesn't change much. Mining changes slowly. And tourism, do you have a historic trend, whether that is gradually trending up, or is it, does it cycle as well?
Senator, that's, again, Bill Knoll here. Good questions, and each of those have separate answers in a macro sense, if you will. Do the last one first. Alaskans were very concerned after 9/11 on the impact on our industry, and there was a slight dip. But in talking with the ATIA Executive Director Ron Peck and some of their board members, they're confident that things are moving back, in fact have moved back in a positive direction, perhaps because of fears of traveling overseas where the people view it as a little less secure. People are traveling in America. They are concerned about across the road, coming across the border, the rubber traffic. And for two reasons. One, of course, is the cost of fuel. And the second is this new passport control or ID issue that is in front of the Congress, where we ordinary Americans will have to have a passport or some heavy-duty kind of identification, even if we went across the border to buy groceries to get back in. So we've addressed that to Senator Murkowski and Senator Stevens, both of whom have made their concerns known to the authorities. We're on a standby basis waiting to see how that pans out. The general trend is then up, and we keep a sharp eye on that one. In terms of fisheries, you mentioned market trends. The biggest market push, of course, on that one was the devastating effect of the acceptance of farm salmon out of Chile and out of Norway. It just cavitated our salmon industry here. Values dropped about 80%. That's a tremendous number. It affected families throughout Alaska, and we paid a lot of attention to that during this particular administration. And through good allocation of money, through support of communities, and frankly, a little bit of good old-fashioned luck, we've seen some very strong comeback. A lot of it has been in the form of concerns over farm fish, whether or not that's the healthier thing to feed your family or not. Omega-3 suddenly becomes something that people, taxi drivers in Washington, D.C., are aware of, frankly, and that's personal anecdotal on the way to the airport one morning. You're from Alaska. Oh, Omega-3, good guy, Korean War veteran. So it's a little bit of luck and a little bit of really good old-fashioned hard marketing, and we are very pleased. Fisheries now are, we saw a low in 98-99 exports only, of about $700 million. The calendar year 2005, exports are about $2 billion, almost three times. That is a tremendous recovery, and it's meant a lot to our people, coastal communities, and our people. We put a big emphasis on Alaskans on this one. Forestry, different story. That, of course, is not in fisheries. We have the resource available. It's extremely well managed, the envy of the world, frankly. On timber, this is ready, fire, aim. We have shot ourselves in the foot, as I think everyone in this room probably is well aware. We are hopeful. In fact, I think, is it tomorrow, Al? We have a meeting with the U.S. Forest Service that some kind of a plan may be forthcoming where we see a reestablishment of the availability of the resource itself. And that's what's really hurt us. It's not that the timber is not physically available. Is it available from the regulators? And Jim Clark, Chief of Staff, has put together a team One team member is our department member, Jack Phelps, and I will attend that briefing tomorrow myself to see how we're doing on creating a compromise of some kind where the resource is made more readily available. Minerals.
If I can interject, Elk Cloud Deputy Commissioner, Senator Seekins is probably interested in this as well. We do have a joint effort underway between the Department of Commerce, Department of Natural Resources, Forestry, and the Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation on trying to advance the interior forest. And those stands up there are they're controlled by the borough, state forest, as well as native wood. And we're getting a lot of nibbles on that. Certainly too early to say that we will be able to put that in the wind column, but there is quite a bit of effort trying to get some bona fide industrial interest up there to develop those forest lands.
DNR has a good man stationed in Fairbanks, as you probably well know, that's Mr. Matcha.
Yeah, Chris.
And our man Jack Phelps works with him. He was up there last week, as a matter of fact, Senator. We're looking forward to keeping our fingers crossed and pushing on that.
Other questions? Well, I know you put forth a great deal of effort here, and it would be a shame that if we were to lose this baseline. I'd really like to encourage you to hang on to it and then bring back a report next year to the legislature similar to this, so that we can continue to follow our investments. If I can, the state can look at its stock portfolio and see how well we're doing.
Thank you, Senator. You might invite us back one day sooner than that to talk about another commodity. I don't mean oil. Another commodity is money. It's not usually counted as a commodity in this state, but around the money markets, in fact, is a commodity. And our money, our permanent fund, makes more money than anything else. Makes us a lot of money. Good commodity.
I think we knew that, and of course, the arena money. We've also recently done some things about our trust industry up here, and that is, of course, generating some income for the state as well.
Senator, that's music to my ears. In fact, around the country, people are now calling, I'm going to form an Alaska Trust. Even if they're not forming, if they're forming in Delaware, they've named those things Alaska Trusts. It's a very good prospect. I'm glad you mentioned it. We would like to see that more exploited.
Yeah, if you'd like to, I may be talking to the wrong people. So if you'd like to come back and give us a report on the funds returned to the state via the Permanent Fund Corporation, we'd look into that as well. I'd be happy to entertain that meeting.
Thank you very much.
So any other questions for the folks? Again, with our sincere thanks for the, please carry it back to your employees. I know they put a good deal of time and effort into this, I speak for the committee that we appreciate having this information available.
Thank you very much. Most of them are right here.
Thank you, Senator, and I can assure you that we also learned quite a bit by this. It kind of changed some preconceived ideas we had internally on a few issues, and look forward to keeping this database up.
That would be very useful.
Thank you.
Thursday, we have another interesting meeting. We meet with the administration regarding the Premier Blue Cross Aetna contract award process and some of the problems that many legislators have expressed some concern about. We do have a change in meeting time. We'll be meeting here in the finance room again at 2:30 on Thursday. So you can take an extra long lunch on my behalf. Anything
put
more?
Put it on your tab.
Yeah. anything more to come before the committee? If not, thank you very much, and enjoy your day. We'll stand adjourned.
Well, Mr. Chairman, with these.